Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, I'm your host for this podcast, and we have got another guest to interview today. So I'm really looking forward to it. Now, Sharon is from America. Obviously, I'm from Australia. I forgot to ask her what time it is. I think it's in the afternoon over there. It's morning here. And she is talking about communication and how important it is. So we're talking about how we can communicate and the best ways to go about it. But I'll just quickly read you her bio. Sharon Constanzo is a life and relationship coach. She helps her clients improve their communication with their partners with the Keep Talking framework. Now, this framework's a model of communication without blowing up, sucking it up, or walking away from important relationships and challenges. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not one that blows up that often. I do tend to do a bit of sucking up, taking it all on board. And yes, I have been known to walk away. I find that so much easier sometimes, but it's obviously not the right answer. So I want to introduce you to Sharon. I'll bring her up on the screen. Hi, Sharon, welcome on board.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure, because I need to learn a little bit here too. So I'm getting the benefit of both. As my listeners will learn, I will learn as well. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I like I said, I'm a life and relationship coach, and you guys are seeing my messy sewing room. That's my hobby as well. So I became a coach after struggling with this very issue for a long time in my marriage. My husband and I just celebrated our 9th anniversary. And for the first several years of our marriage, we just could not seem to get this communication thing to work out very well. We were doing a lot of blowing up. I was feeling a lot of pressure to just suck it up and try and make it work, even though I wasn't feeling heard and seen. And there were times in our relationship also where it seemed like we might just have to throw in the towel and walk away. So after I figured out a communication framework and model that really worked, and I love how you call it the art of intuition here on the podcast, because it is a very intuitive model rather than having a script for communication, kind of understanding the cadence of communication is a lot of what I base this framework off of. And learning that in my own relationship and then realizing how powerful it was and how much I could help other people with that was really what motivated me to become a coach and to help other women and couples with their communication and learning how to resolve those kind of high conflict issues that don't always get resolved.
Yeah, it's pretty challenging, isn't it? Because we do have our sort of our go-tos, don't we? Like I said, you know, it's some people will just blow up. They'll just lose it. Others will suck it up. And I know I'm an empath, and I lived with a narcissist for 20 years my marriage. Yeah. I'm a bit of a slow learner. So I used to suck it all up. It was like there was something wrong with me. Why, you know, and I would take it all on board and just suck it all up until it got to the stage where you just couldn't take on anymore. And there needs to be that change. And this is the framework that you're talking about, this Keep Talking framework, because one of the things that I did do was I shut down. I know I shut down. So tell me more about this framework. I'm really intrigued.
Yeah. So a lot of times what we believe a conversation goes like is that we initiate the conversation and then we discuss it and then we come to a resolution. But as you probably have figured out, most of us have figured out, is there's a lot of misunderstandings and things that we need to learn how to navigate between when we start the conversation and when we actually resolve it. So that's why I have five elements in this framework. The first is the initiation element. And then usually what happens, you know, we've talked a little bit about blowing up, sucking it up, walking away. There are actually kind of four responses that we generally tend towards when we are feeling threatened or misunderstood. And that's fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And if you can recognize that in yourself or in your partner, that is happening, then that's when it's good to either pause the conversation or slow down. So you can pause by just saying, hey, I need some time to think through this before I continue the conversation, or I can see that we're not getting anywhere right now, so let's take a little break and come back to it. Or you can slow down by asking some open-ended questions of the other person to make sure that you're understanding things rather than letting things get escalated. So that's the first part, is just to recognize when one of you is reacting to a threat and to respond to that rather than just pushing through.
Can I just ask, Sharon, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're fine.
When you say initiate, right, this uh-huh. was probably one of my hardest areas. How does somebody initiate something when they're probably overreacting, or I'll put it this way, I can only talk for myself, so hopefully this will help for others. Sure. But there was times there when I was a little bit too frightened to initiate a conversation, too frightened to bring anything forward, and not just physically frightened, but more verbally frightened, like the verbal attack and the emotional attack that you get. So sometimes there's these barriers that stop us from initiating any sort of a conversation. What would be a first step to ease that in? How could we do that?
Yeah, there's a few things that can be really helpful in that scenario. And that is definitely one of the biggest barriers to having a productive conversation, is just being able to initiate the conversation. One thing is to think about why this topic or this issue is important to address. And then what will be different for you and for your relationship when you are able to address it in a positive and healthy way? So you're thinking about the outcome that you want to create rather than anticipating all of that pushback that you might get. The other thing that helps with this framework in particular is knowing that even if you don't say everything the right way that the first time, that there's kind of grace built into it. That there's ways to clear up those misunderstandings and stuff as they come up, rather than feeling that immense pressure that if you don't start the conversation the right way the first time, that it's not going to go well for you. So
that makes sense. Because that's taking the pressure off you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, I'm just going to start it the best that I can with the information and the skills that I have right now, knowing that there are going to be places to make adjustments along the way and stay on track.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that makes it a lot easier because, I think I was anticipating the pushback and so I just didn't. You stopped.
Yeah. And in your case, it might just be saying, like, I know that this person is going to push back and I'm going to be prepared for that. So rather than trying to prevent it, I expect that to happen and I can pause, I can slow down, and then I can also repair. And that's the third part, the third element. And when I say repair, I'm not saying apologize. Because a lot of times what we would do is apologize to try and appease somebody, especially if they feel like they're attacking us. But when I say repair, it could be something like, oh, I feel like maybe you must have misunderstood me. Let me clarify that misunderstanding for you and help you to understand what my true intention is. Or you could say, a lot of times as a woman, we get into this habit of kind of appeasing people. And so a repair might be something like, I know in the past I may have given you the impression that I was okay with things being this way in our relationship, and that's not actually true. So let me repair that and let you know now that the things that I have tolerated in the past are not things I want to tolerate anymore. So I want to move forward with a new pattern.
Okay, that's making lots of sense. So we talked about the initiate, so and then the pause and slow down. I understand that, and the repair, like you say, it's not about necessarily us apologizing, but maybe reframing it and having another look. Let me just go back again, because I've talked about initiating for one, as in mm-hmm. I was a sucker up, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What about initiating for somebody who tends to blow up? Now, I know that if things get too much and we tend to blow up, it's sometimes hard to initiate a conversation without it becoming, not necessarily without it becoming blown up, but without blowing up first before we initiate.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. And I'm working with a client right now, and that's a pattern for her and her relationship as well. And I think in that case, you really want to check in with your story, what you're telling yourself about your partner and why it is that they are behaving the way that they want to. Usually there's something that you're not happy about. And if you're telling yourself that they're intending to hurt you, or they're just being lazy or selfish or taking advantage of you, if you're telling yourself any of those stories, when you initiate the conversation, that's going to come out. And if you're one to blow up, then that's going to come out and blowing up at them. You know, why are you behaving this way? So you really need to check in and use what people would call a charitable assumption, and just assume that they're acting with the best of their intentions, and checking in with that story and approaching it with curiosity. So if you do have some misunderstandings, trying to understand what that is, and maybe checking that intention when you're initiating a conversation, where the intention is not to get somebody to change or to see things your way, but to understand the problem better from both of your point of views.
Okay, so now tell me if I'm doing this right or not, Sharon, because I'm still learning. All right, yeah. So sucking it up is about not assuming that, you know, that the worst is going to happen. We don't have to be perfect to start with, or, you know, that we could get a bit of pushback and just allow it to happen. Blowing up is about getting an understanding of our sort of beliefs or our understandings of the situation, and not, again, assuming that we need to go that way. Just have a look at how we're thinking about everything and where that's coming from. So, yeah, that's cool. What about the walking away? What do they do instead of their go-to walking away?
Yeah, I think that comes back to what we talked about earlier too, of thinking about, if I were to be able to resolve this in a healthy way, what would it mean for me and for our relationship? And generally it's more connection, more understanding, more intimacy, which is what we want. But a lot of times that fear of driving a wedge further between the relationship keeps us from what we want. You know, it's kind of a competing commitment. Like, I don't want conflict at any cost, but the fact that I'm avoiding the conflict is driving us away. So it's being willing to take a little bit of a risk, and risking that, you know, maybe a little bit of conflict in the moment in order to get over that hump of disconnection or misunderstanding, so that you can really deepen the relationship in that way.
Oh, that's great. I love this, because you're really getting a clear understanding. In fact, like you're saying, what I'm getting is the fact that all of our go-to actions that we normally use when there's conflict or when we want to initiate a conversation, it's really deep-seated in within us, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. really our beliefs and our assumptions that we need to address and we need to look at before we even go further forward and initiate this conversation, or at least get it started and have that understanding. So that is cool. Now, like you said, the second step is to pause and slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so we've gone through this understanding of who we are and what we're doing. We've initiated a conversation, and now we're sort of going to take a little bit of a back step. We're going to pause. We're going to slow down. We're going to get an understanding of what's going on. What does that look like again for the people?
Yeah. So, and that, I guess that's where you would kind of use your judgment and your intuition, right? I know for me, I'm an introvert, and a lot of times what introverts need is more time to process information. We don't think really well on our feet. My husband is the person in our relationship who's quick on his feet, and he knows the right thing to say to kind of get his way in the conversation. It's not always the right thing to say to have a better relationship with me, but, you know, to end the argument and get what he wants in the moment, even though that's not what he wants in the long term. But just understanding those dynamics, and I need time to think about how I feel, because if I feel forced to respond in the moment and I haven't had time to think, I'm going to get more upset and cause more damage to the relationship than good. So I need, sometimes it's 15 minutes to myself to think through things, to breathe, to think about what I really want the outcome of the relationship to be and the outcome of the conversation to be, and then come back. Sometimes it might be 24 hours. One of the kind of recommendations I have with the pause in a conversation is, for it to be a healthy pause, you want to have a commitment that we're going to come back and talk about this again within 48 hours. So what can happen if you aren't following the framework and you're just in that frustrated point where you don't know how to continue the conversation, you might not come back and continue it. And you guys probably, most of your listeners probably understand how those things get swept under the rug over and over again. So we want to avoid that by kind of having a deadline, like, let's talk about this before the weekend's over or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know exactly what you mean, because I'm one to take it in, and I have to get an understanding internally as well before I can advance on some of that. But for an extrovert, of course, verbalizing it helps them understand it. For an introvert, we tend to be thinking rather than verbalizing. So, yes, it does take us that lot longer to see where it's going, to get an understanding of it. So, yeah, that makes sense. So for us, we need to have that time out. We need to have that space to be able to think about it. So for a extrovert, that pause or that slowdown could be even conversing with somebody else, like talking to their coach like you, or mm-hmm. talking to a friend and just getting expressing it verbally, so they start to get that understanding a little bit more. So that's perfect. Yeah. So then repair, let's go back a little bit more into the repair. How do we look at that one again?
Yeah. So in the repair, you know, it's funny. I was just listening to this book, The Big Leap, from Gay Hendricks, and he's talking about, and this is something that shows up in a lot of relationship books and a lot of relationship advice, is each person in the relationship needs to take 100% responsibility. So when we feel like we both are 50-50 responsible for the relationship, or maybe the other person is more at fault than us, then this gets really tenuous. So the repair part is, what is my part in this? And I'm going to take 100% responsibility for my behavior. I'm not going to try and justify any bad behavior because of my partner's bad behavior, but I'm going to take 100% responsibility for that. And I'm going to take responsibility for being a clear communicator and just trying to clear up any misunderstandings. If I have wronged my partner in any way, then I do want to acknowledge that and make amends for those wrongs so that we can move forward, and then acknowledge and validate their feelings so that we can move forward.
Okay. Oh, that's really cool. Because that makes, it's almost like you're repairing yourself, really. You're looking issues within you and go, okay, well, that's where I need to address it. I know with my 20-year marriage that ended, there was a lot of things I could have said that my ex-husband was or did or was part of his lifestyle. But when I went that way, I felt like I was blaming him all the time for the relationship breakdown, and there was a lot of it that was my fault. And part of my fault was not communicating. Part of my fault was not saying, sucking it up, instead of going, hang on, that's not sitting right with me. It doesn't feel right. I need to look at that a bit more. And so with my partner that I've got now, I don't allow that to happen. If there's something there, I have to say it now. I have to express it. And I feel that that's part of the repairing. You start to reflect back, have a look at it, and start to piece together the bits and pieces and go, well, hang on, man, maybe I didn't do that bit right, and maybe I can do that better next time. So, yeah, I love that concept. Yeah. It's perfect.
And you develop so much more trust in yourself and your own intuition, I think, when you're willing to acknowledge the places. And it's not necessarily, I don't like to use fault and blame in any of these things, but just owning your part and, you know, it reestablishing your trust in yourself. And when you become that really trustworthy person, it can only benefit your relationship.
Absolutely, absolutely. And well, like I said, with mine, it didn't benefit my relationship because I didn't understand it then, but it's now benefiting the relationship that I've got. And yeah. I know this one is a big difference. And the big difference is I'm communicating properly, or well, better.
Yeah, you're doing what you're staying true to yourself in your communication.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so we've initiated, we've paused and slowed down, we've repaired, and now we have to resume the discussion. How does that go?
Yeah, so in the resume, you know, sometimes we have cases where the person that we want to communicate with is not available to resume the discussion, and that can be a little bit tricky. But you invite them back into the conversation without coercing them into the conversation. So can we continue to talk about this now? Is there anything else you'd like to add as we discuss this issue? Is there anything I'm not understanding? You know, you want to make that container as welcoming as you can to have somebody come and resume the conversation with you. And then you can continue to discuss the thing that's excuse me, I'm still getting over that cold, but that I told you about. But this can go through, you can go through this cycle several times before you get to the resolution. And I don't know if I mentioned that before, but you know, you might start to resume the discussion, and some of those old misunderstandings or assumptions that you have made in the past or that your partner has made about you might start to creep up again, and you continue this. And sometimes these resumed discussions happen over the course of months or years. I don't know if you've had that experience in a relationship before where all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, this thing that we were arguing about a year ago, all of a sudden I understand your point of view now, and we are resolving it. So sometimes it's a very ongoing process to resolve some of the things that we deal with in a relationship.
Yeah, it would have to be, because you're not going to be able to walk through this once. There's too many elements in it. So you might only walk through one part of it once, or one conversation once, but majority of times you're going to be going backwards and over it and over and over it. So which is really good, because then when you're talking about resuming the discussion, we go back to initiate. How are we going to do that? What are we looking at? What are we assuming? What do we believe is going to happen, instead of looking at what could happen, what we want to happen? And if we're focusing on the positives of what we want to happen, that's going to allow us to talk a little bit more openly, a little bit more honestly, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's the intention.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the last part, of course, is to resolve it. So that is the beauty of it. I just love those five steps. It's just amazing. And so simple, and yet so I don't know. It just makes sense, doesn't it?
It does to me. It's worked in my experience. So it's funny, because when you talk about resolving and resuming, I was thinking of this situation in my relationship. So my kids are still fairly young. They're 5 and 6. And my husband and I have tried to go camping together a few times. And it turns out that we have very different styles about how we like to camp. He likes kind of a more bachelor style of camping, and I like a more maybe luxurious style of camping where we eat good food and that type of thing. I don't know if camping is popular where you live, but we tried to go camping early on in our relationship, and it didn't go very well. So for a long time, we just we just left it at agree to disagree type of a thing. And then recently I was like, hey, I think we could maybe talk about camping again. And maybe if you could just acknowledge the fact that I really like to, you know, eat hot, real food 3 times a day, then we could make this work. And my husband just said, you know, I think that I like to camp bachelor style camping. So maybe we can do other things together as a family. And that felt resolved to me. You know, we have different styles. So this is how we're going to handle this part of our relationship and these activities that we do together. So it doesn't have to necessarily be, we're going to do this together and we're going to find a way to make it work for both of us. There's lots of different ways to resolve some of these conflicting issues and different styles that we have in our relationship. I don't know if that story is a relatable story or not, but
yeah, it does. It does, because it doesn't necessarily have to end. Like when you're resolving something, it's just a matter of you both agreeing to it. It doesn't really matter what it is, as long as you're both agreeing to it. And yeah, no, that makes absolute sense. But you know what I haven't done? So we've gone through your keep talking framework. So mm-hmm. which is really what it is about, to keep on talking until you do come up with a happy solution at the end. But you know what we haven't talked about? We haven't talked about you and your background. Like, you gave us a story about why you've started this, but you, because you're a coach.
I am a coach. Yeah, I have kind of an interesting background, and maybe the reason why I have the framework the way that I do is because before I became a coach, I have 2 engineering degrees. So I've worked as an engineer and a project manager. And so kind of systematically working through problems, it comes naturally to me. And I think it's kind of a fun and happy marriage between my interest in relationships and communication and my background in kind of analyzing things and creating systems and processes, which makes me unique as a coach, as opposed to maybe people with other backgrounds. So I don't know if that's what you were asking about or not, but it's an interesting marriage of 2 very different skill sets.
And you know what's really funny? I've got a very, very similar. I mean, I haven't got the engineering degree. I have got a different degree, a public health degree, but I love the processes and I love systems and I love the analytics, because I do Google advertising. So I love looking at the analytics behind it. I really enjoy that side of it. But when it comes to doing the art of intuition, I love that we can actually use our feelings and our emotions and we put that all together. So I totally get where you're coming from, because if I was looking for a coach, I would like that coach to still have a type of analytic background, because we need to be able to step through a healing process or an understanding of it, which is why when I saw your framework, it really appealed to me, because I know it's not as simple as 1, 2, 3, 4. I get that. But if you've got something to guide you along, a system or a framework or a process that helps you guide you along, it gives you the next step to take. It gives you the understanding of that next step to take. And I think that's brilliant. I love that.
Yeah, it's been really helpful for me. And I still use it in my relationship with my husband. It's been interesting to see how, you know, I get now I get to think, okay, how would I coach my clients if I was coaching somebody dealing with this situation? And the really fun part now is to hear my husband talking to he has a really close friend who is single, and hearing him give advice to his friend, like, you can't just go to her and you know, just tell her everything she's doing wrong and expect her to respond well to that. So it's just fun to see this perpetuating in our family, about now seeing my husband kind of become a relationship coach to his single friends as well.
Oh, there's nothing better than hearing something when you've guided somebody and then they're using it in their own terminology, but basically using the same words to help someone else. It's just gold. I love it. But the other thing I haven't done, Sharon, and now this is because we've got our little ticker tape running for the video, but because it's a podcast, what we've not done is let people know how to find you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hang on. I'll put the new ticker tape up. So Sharon helps you understand communication without blowing up, sucking it up, or walking away. So her website is keeptalkingrevolution.com. Now, I'm not going to spell that out. You can Google that, because that's what Google's for. Keeptalkingrevolution.com. So that's where you can go to the website. You've also got other ways we can connect as well.
Yeah. So that website, that takes you to kind of the posts that go along with my podcast, which is also called Keep Talking Revolution. So if you Google that, you can listen to the podcast pretty much anywhere where you find your podcasts. And then I also, you can find me on Instagram at Keep Talking Revolution as well. So basically, if you look for Keep Talking Revolution, then you'll find me on social media or my podcast.
Yep. And Facebook. Yeah.
And Facebook. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So what else was I going to do? There was something else I was going to ask you about. Okay. You've currently got on offer, you've got one-on-one coaching programs. Can you tell me a little bit more about those?
Yeah. So with my one-on-one coaching programs, I coach women and couples as well. And it's a very organic and personalized coaching. Most of my clients work with me for 3 to 6 months. And basically what we do during that is we try and first understand what your communication dynamics are and then break that down and figure out what the barriers are in your relationship to having those productive conversations that you need to be having and start having more productive and connecting conversations with your partner. It's really fun to see my clients do that as well, because when you learn to communicate with one person, all of your relationships improve. So it works in the workplace. You know, every conversation can really follow this framework. I like working with women and their closest romantic relationships, because that really is what causes us the most pain and also can bring us the most satisfaction. But it really works in every relationship.
Yeah. So you don't even need to be in a relationship to work with you, though.
No.
Cool. And when you're working with somebody, how are you doing it? Do you only work in person, or can you do online?
All of my clients meet with me through Zoom. So I have clients who even live here locally and we still meet on Zoom, just because the pandemic has kind of gotten us used to talking online, and it works really well. If you have kids around or whatever, it can be a lot easier to just put a TV show on and meet me in your own home than trying to meet in person. So.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's really good. Now, before I ask you if there's anything else you want to share, I just want to say to you how much I dislike how your sewing area looks. My sewing area never ever looked that clean and tidy, so I am a little bit disappointed. I used to have stuff everywhere, but it was so neat.
I try and keep it tidy because my office and my sewing room are the same area. And I used to try with my virtual office to hide the fact that this was a sewing room, and I decided just to let it be what it is. And and people can see that I'm a multifaceted person.
Yeah, who does? Absolutely. I love it. Did you do the big hanging at the back there?
I did. Yeah. Gorgeous. That was the first quilt I ever made. I made that when I was 16.
Oh, well done. That's good. Really good. All right. Back to our communication. Sorry, just had to do that.
No, it's fine.
Back to the communication. And I was going to ask you, is there anything else that you want to bring forward about it?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I think there is one thing that has been really helpful for me and also for my clients when you start to get stuck. And I call it reflect to connect, just getting inside and thinking through these three questions. And they're very simple. It's, what do I want for myself? What do I want for my partner? And what do I want for my relationship? When you think of those three things, then I love how you call this podcast the art of intuition, because your intuition can tell you then, you know, do I need to slow down? Do I need to pause? Do I need to repair? You know, and it can help you through this process, just thinking about what you want for yourself and your partner and your relationship.
Isn't that funny? As soon as you said that, I thought exactly the same, because the first thing I say to people when they want to connect with their intuition is you've got to ask. If you don't ask, you're not open to receiving. If you just bottle it up and keep on walking, you don't get anywhere. But if you open up and ask, and that's what you've just said, those three questions that you're just asking, and it does allow the intuition to come in and reflect back and get an understanding of where to go or what to do. I would probably say one question at a time and get a little bit of an answer.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
That's really lovely. Thank you so much, Sharon. Like I said, people can connect with you via Facebook. So it's all about Keep Talking Revolution. So keeptalkingrevolution.com is the website, is Insta, is Facebook. We can connect with you anyway that way. If you did want an email, there is an email there, Sharon@SharonConstanzo.com.
Yep.
Is that right? Costanzo?
Yeah, Costanzo. Yeah, it's a tricky name for people to get, but it's Costanzo. And I do offer free 30-minute consultation calls. So if you're interested in talking more about what it would be like to work together, you can find a link to schedule one of those calls on any of those sites as well. So
okay, cool. And tell them that you heard it on the Art of Intuition. So sharing an understanding of what's going on, because this is all part of business as well as being able to reach out and find the community and help where we need to help. So that's really lovely. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with us.
Thank you, Susan. It's been so great to chat with you tonight.
Okay. I am going to just finish off here, put on the music, and I will talk to you in a minute, okay? Don't go. Okay. Oh, guys, that was really good. Sharon really knows her stuff, and just following that framework, it makes sense, and it's something that you can grasp and you can hold on to and you can work with. But I loved it at the end when she turned around and said, ask those three questions, because that's what our intuition is all about. And that's the part that, well, you know, I'm a bit funny like that. I really like that side of it. So if you want to connect with Sharon, again, it is Keep Talking Revolution. She's got a podcast. That's the website. There's Facebook, Instagram, all the social media, so you can connect with her there. If you want to connect with the Art of Intuition, same sort of thing. There's podcasts, the website, all the rest of it. So you can connect with us or subscribe to this station or this podcast. That would be really lovely. I hope you all have a great week. I will see you again next week. So subscribe, and I will say bye for now. Okay, see you guys.